China.
Jagwan. When propaganda falls flat. To control ethnic Mongolians, Xi Jinping is reviving a Mao-era tool.
China's Communist Party has an astroturf problem. For a decade, the party has worked to revive grassroots networks that withered during the me-first-get-rich-quick years of the 1990s and 2000s. Under Xi Jinping, China's leader since 2012, vast resources have been deployed to make the party a growing presence in everyday life. Alongside lessons in Xi Jinping thought, Maoist campaigns and slogans have been resurrected, tapping into popular nostalgia for a time when China was poor but more equal. Alas for propaganda chiefs, some grassroots are more organic than others, and the Chinese public can tell the difference. This is notably true when the party co-opts local traditions for aggressively ideological ends. This produces something at once artificial and rootless, or astroturf, to borrow a term used by American political campaigns to denote fake grassroots activism. The cynicism provoked by some, though not all, grassroots party work was revealed when Jagwan visited Hulan Buor, a huge swathe of grasslands, birch forests and conifer plantations in the far northern region of Inner Mongolia. His ambition was to see an Ulan Muchir troupe perform. Founded in 1957, early Ulan Muchir teams, their name means red bud in Mongolian, would journey for weeks by horse cart and army-grade lorry, carrying news and party ideology to far-flung herding families and border posts in the form of simple songs and dances. This Mao-era propaganda tool was all but forgotten in the boom decades that followed China's embrace of capitalism. It enjoyed sudden renewed fame after 2017, when Mr. Xi wrote to one of the oldest troops and urged it to carry forward the fine tradition of the Ulan Muchir, put down roots and serve the herders. Quickly, officials scrambled to create new troops, eventually dispatching 3,500 performers in 75 Ulan Muchir groups to all corners of Inner Mongolia. More than a mere public service, these grassroots cultural teams represent heart, sincerity and warmth, according to the People's Daily, the party's official mouthpiece. Today, Ulan Muchir troops perform in town squares and retirement homes, army bases, schools and mines. Most outdoor shows are packed into the short Mongolian summer, before winter temperatures plunge to minus 40 degrees Celsius. In Yekeshi, a forestry town, a battered Jafang or liberation lorry was being used as a mobile theatre. Tough enough to reach remote encampments of gurs, as Mongolians call the round tents, some foreigners call yurts, the Ulan Muchir's lorry has sides that unfold to make a canopy and stage. As official media tell it, Ulan Muchir troops are rugged propaganda workers, bringing cheer to the rural poor, and as such capture the essence of Mr. Xi's new era. Today's party presents itself as a selfless, mission-driven organisation, inspired by the hardships and dangers that its members endured in the pioneering early years of the People's Republic. Ambitious young officials are encouraged to serve the people by spending time in poverty-stricken rural areas. The ideological content of Ulan Muchir shows is all of a piece with Mr. Xi's new era. Under him, the limited autonomy once granted to regions with large ethnic populations, including Inner Mongolia, home to 4.2 million ethnic Mongolians, has been replaced with coercive assimilation. Ulan Muchir performers increasingly sing in Mandarin Chinese, not Mongolian. Lyrics are strictly policed by party ideologues and reflect official slogans, for instance about ethnic unity or the dangers of non-approved religious sects. Revealingly, it is unclear that official praise for Ulaanbaatar troops is matched by actual grassroots popularity. Your columnist caught up with a troop at a half-empty mountain resort outside Yerkeshi. Dancers capered round the stage in Mongolian silk robes, pretending to ride horses like grasslands nomads. For all their energy, it was a distinctly generic performance. Few of the dancers were ethnic Mongolians, and Yerkeshi's local minorities were by tradition forest dwellers, not herders. The crowd of mostly Han Chinese tourists was small and increasingly skittish. Impoverished families from the area are sometimes treated to Ulaanbaatar shows, a local resident explained. In fact, the local went on, the poor don't want this sort of entertainment and would rather have free rice, flour and cooking oil. Back in Yerkeshi, a retired lumberjack encountered playing music in a park praised the genuine Ulaanbaatar of his youth for entertaining common people in hard-to-reach pastoral areas. In contrast, today's troops play for mayors and officials, he growled, adding, serve the people, fuck that. Not all grassroots party work is unpopular. This July, an open-air stage in Yerkeshi hosted several concerts to mark the party's 103rd anniversary. A children's choir rehearsed a song about winter sports, and a mostly Han Chinese crowd of pensioners prepared to dance in red Mongolian robes. A middle-aged spectator asserted cheerily that the pensioners had gathered by themselves to organise the dance. In reality, this was a party event, as confirmed by an official from a local neighbourhood committee. But the ideological content was hard to detect, and the prevailing atmosphere was festive, not bossy. Amnesia about the party's history in Inner Mongolia also helps. In 1957, when the first Ulaanbaatar troop was formed, many ethnic Mongolians were angry about the recent collectivization of their herds. In the late 1960s, as the Cultural Revolution raged, Maoist zealots and Red Guards accused ethnic Mongolians of separatism and of spying for the Soviet Union. Tens of thousands of Mongolians were killed, some of them burned to death. In Mr. Xi's China, such grim history is outlawed. The party likes to boast about its deep historical roots, not have them examined.